As we continue in this series we're going through in the life of David, today we're going to finish up chapter 18 of 1 Samuel. So 1 Samuel chapter 18, we'll look at verses 6 through 30. We'll be there in just a few moments. You may remember that God has rejected Saul as king over Israel. David has been anointed as the future king. Then later on, the Philistines, they all gather and their armies and they battle against the armies of Israel. At that time, no one is willing to battle against their champion, Goliath, except this young David. And David goes out there and he kills Goliath. And then the Israelite army, they chase the Philistines back into their own territory. Then David is called before Saul so that he can kind of introduce himself and talk about his family so that Saul can learn about his future in-laws. And Jonathan happens to be there at that meeting. We spoke about it last week that David and Jonathan, they established this lifelong friendship. That's where we pick up today. As we talk about Saul becoming extremely jealous of David, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read. It is a little bit long, but not near as long as next week. If you need to stay seated or if you need to sit down, then by all means, go ahead. It reads like this. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with timbrels and lyres. As they danced, they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. "They have credited David with tens of thousands," he thought, "but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom?" From that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully on Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing the lyre as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, "I'll pin David to the wall." But David eluded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David, but had departed from Saul. So he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men. And David led the troops in their campaigns. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he had led them in their campaigns. Saul said to David, "Here is my older daughter, Merib. I will give her to you in marriage. Only serve me bravely and fight the battles of the Lord." For Saul said to himself, "I will not raise a hand against him. Let the Philistines do that." But David said to Saul, "Who am I and what is my family or my clan in Israel that I should become the king's son-in-law?" So when the time came for Merib, Saul's daughter, to be given to David, she was given in marriage to Adriel of Mehola. Now Saul's daughter Michal was in love with David. And when they told Saul about it, he was pleased. "I will give her to him," he thought, "so that she may be a snare to him and so that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." So Saul said to David, "Now you have a second opportunity to become my son-in-law." Then Saul ordered his attendants, "Speak to David privately and say, 'Look, the king likes you, and his attendants all love you. Now become his son-in-law.'" And they repeated these words to David, but David said, "Do you think it is a small matter to become the king's son-in-law? I'm only a poor man and little known." When Saul's servants told him what David had said, Saul replied, "Say to David, 'The king wants no other price for the bride than 100 Philistine foreskins to take revenge on his enemies.'" Saul's plan was to have David fall by the hands of the Philistines. When the attendants told David these things, he was pleased to become the king's son-in-law. So before the allotted time elapsed, David took his men with him and went out and killed 200 Philistines and brought back their foreskins. They counted out the full number to the king so that David might become the king's son-in-law. Then Saul gave him his daughter Michal in marriage. When Saul realized that the Lord was with David and that his daughter Michal loved David, Saul became still more afraid of him, and he remained his enemy the rest of his days. The Philistine commanders continued to fight, to go out to battle, And as often as they did, David met with more success than the rest of Saul's officers. And his name became well known. Thank you. You may be seated. And maybe the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. There is a story that's told of two shopkeepers, and they were bitter rivals. Their stores are directly across the street from each other. And they would spend each day keeping track of each other's business. If one of them got a customer, he would kind of smile and triumph over his rival. And then one night, an angel appeared to one of the shopkeepers. And he said, "I will give you anything you ask. But whatever you receive, your competitor will receive twice as much. Would you be rich? You can be very rich, but he will be twice as wealthy. Do you wish to live a long and healthy life? You can, but his will be longer and healthier. So what is your desire?" And the man, he frowned and he thought for just a moment. And then he said, "Here is my request. Strike me blind in one eye." Okay. Granted, it takes a moment to kind of sink in and get there. And we kind of chuckle and we may laugh a little bit awkwardly at that. But it proves a point. Jealousy is really a terrible trait. The Concise Oxford English Dictionary defines jealousy as being envious of someone else's possessions, achievements, or advantages. Now, the Lord has chosen David to be his anointed servant and the future king over Israel. The Lord has set Saul aside as king. And Saul becomes increasingly and violently jealous of David. And so today, as we work our way through, I want us to see Saul's jealousy at David's success and Saul's efforts to try to kill him. The very first thing we notice is Saul's jealousy. Verses 6 and 7, the men are returning from war. And David has just killed the Philistines, and the women come out of the towns and of Israel, and they're meeting the king and all the troops as they're coming there. And they're singing and they're dancing. There's this joyful song, and they're using timbrels and they're using lyres. And as they dance, they're singing. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. Now, I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but last Sunday, June 6th, we celebrated or commemorated the 77th anniversary of D-Day. D-Day is the day where the Allied forces stormed the beaches in Normandy, France. It took about a year in order for the Allied troops to win World War II. And then the U.S. troops had to make their way home. And when they finally got home, there was this gigantic ticker tape parade. Over 125,000 people gathered. They lined the streets as the troops marched down the street. They had tanks and other vehicles. They had planes that were flying over. There were people who were up on the rooftops looking down. You see, that's a little bit of what David and them were experiencing as they returned home from striking down the Philistines. There was this dancing, there was this responsive singing from the women of Israel who sing that Saul has struck down thousands and David has tens of thousands. And the English Standard Version says that this was more of just a melody line. They were attributing both of them for all of this. But Saul, he only heard the words that were being said and he took it in the worst of ways. In fact, verses 8 and 9 said that Saul is very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They have credited David with tens of thousands, but me they only gave credit for 1,000. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept an eye on David. See, this is right here is where Saul's jealousy begins. Saul is envious of David's achievements, as they're expressed by the women who come out of the cities of Israel. And they're singing, they're dancing, and they're lauding of David's achievements. But see, Saul, his jealousy, it escalates rather quickly because the very next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully on him. He was prophesying in the house, and David's playing the lyre, his musical instrument, as he normally did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it at David, saying, "I will pin him to the wall." But David eluded him twice. Saul's jealousy, it dominates this entire chapter. Instead of celebrating David's achievements, Saul is envious of David. He compared himself to David unfavorably. And the Bible warns us of the folly of comparing ourselves to others. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor." Let me ask you a question, something to think about, to ponder for a couple moments. Are you envious of someone else's possessions, or maybe their achievements, or maybe even their advantages? If you are, ask the Lord to help you to be content with what you have, with where you are in life. Because if you allow that jealousy to continue to stir within you, to stir in your heart, it will eat you up just like it did Saul. As we continue our scripture, we have seen Saul's jealousy, but we see David's ascendancy or David's rise. See, David ascended in the eyes of the people. Verse 12 says, "Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul." In fact, three times in this chapter, the scripture says that Saul was afraid of David. Of course, Saul's fear of David was completely unjustified because David, he was loyal to Saul. He was following him. But nevertheless, everyone seemed to love David. There are actually six references in this chapter to love, with David being the object of that love. Saul's son Jonathan, he loved David. Saul's daughter Michal, she loved David. All Saul's servants, they loved David. All of Israel and Judah, they loved David. In fact, we are even told a long time earlier, even Saul had loved David, and he loved him greatly. But now Saul is so consumed with jealousy against David that he sends David away from him, gave him command over 1,000 men. David led the troops in their campaigns. See, Saul is thinking that by giving David this position of authority, this military leadership, David will lead the men into battle and he just might be killed fighting against the enemies of Israel. But instead of being struck down and killed, it says in everything he did, speaking of David, in everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. When Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. David's ascendancy, David's rise, it was because the Lord was with him. And Saul is jealous of David's ascendancy. He hoped to somehow stop it, but he could not do that. I'm reminded of another Saul. We find him in the New Testament. You know, Saul of Tarsus, who is on the road to Damascus. He is going there to rout all the Christians, to arrest all the Christians, to torture them, to put them in prison if he can. And on the way there, he is struck by this brilliant light from heaven, and he hears this voice that says to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard to kick against the goads." See, we need to make sure that we don't let jealousy creep in, and that we make sure that we're not jealous of people whom the Lord is blessing, or of other ministries if God has blessed them. If God is moving in someone else's life, if God is blessing somebody else, we should rejoice with them. Rejoice that God is on the move, that God is working. But as we continue in Scripture, we see Saul's schemes. Commentator Richard Phillip, he says, "But there were other ways to arrange a funeral, and one of them was by dangling the prospect of marriage before the young hero." Saul says to David, "Here is my older daughter, Merab. I will give her to you in marriage. Only serve me bravely and fight the Lord's battles." For Saul says to himself, "I will not raise a hand against David. I will let the Philistines do that." Saul again is thinking that if the Philistines, if they kill David, then his hands would be clean of David's blood. But David, he knows that he comes from a poor family. Even more than that, he had a non-Jewish ancestor in his lineage. You may remember his great-grandmother was Ruth, who was a Moabitess. So David says to Saul, who am I and what is my family or my clan in Israel that I should become the king's son-in-law? See, David is just completely humble to think that a lowly person such as himself could be married to a woman of such high standing. You know, the king's daughter, Merab. But then instead of giving Merab to David in marriage, says that when the time came for Merab, Saul's daughter, to be given to David, she was given in marriage instead to Adriel of Mahola. Perhaps Saul was doing this to mess with David. No other thing to try to crush someone than to offer them this and get really excited about it and then at the last minute have it pulled away. Saul's daughter, Michal, she was in love with David. And when they tell Saul about it, he's pleased. So then Saul comes up with another scheme to have David killed. He heard that his daughter Michal loves David. I'll give her to him, he thinks to himself, so that she may be a snare to him and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. So Saul says to David, you have a second chance to become my son-in-law. Then Saul ordered his attendants, go speak to David privately and say the king likes you and all of his servants love you. Now become his son-in-law. But David again humbly turns down the offer. See, they repeated these words to David. David says, do you think it's a small matter to become the king's son-in-law? I'm only a poor man and little known. Saul's servants, they go back and they tell King Saul what David has said. Saul replies and says, say to David, the king wants no other price for the bride than 100 Philistine foreskins to take revenge on his enemies. Saul is sure that if David goes out, he will be killed in action. The very next verse, the second part of verse 25 says, Saul's plan was to have David fall by the hands of the Philistines. But you see, Saul did not reckon that the Lord was with David. Saul did not take into account that the Lord was with David. So when the attendants tell David this, it pleased him so that he could become the king's son-in-law. Before the allotted time elapsed, David took his men and he went out and he killed 200 Philistines. And he brought back their foreskins. Now the scripture, it does not say how these foreskins are brought before the king, how they're presented to him. But I imagine it has to be a very awkward moment. There, and it even says that they counted out the full number of them. They're counting out all of these foreskins. It just got to be really kind of weird and awkward at the moment. But you see, all of Saul's schemes right here show us how desperate Saul is to kill God's anointed servant. His schemes, his plan, they show how far away he is in rebellion, away from God. Are you in rebellion against God? Are you running from God? Are your schemes taking you away from God? If they are, then you need to realize your plans won't succeed. As we look at our next verses, we see David's success. When Saul realized that the Lord was with David and that his daughter Michal loved David, Saul became still more afraid of him, and he remained his enemy the rest of his life. And David's success is clearly stated in verse 30. The Philistine commanders continued to go out to battle, and as often as they did, David met with more success than the rest of Saul's officers. His name became well known. This is, in fact, the fourth reference in this chapter to David's success. The other three references are in verse 5, verse 14, and in verse 15. Even more than that, David's success, it is attributed to the fact that the Lord is with David. It's asserted three times within our scripture. Verse 12, verse 14, and verse 28. You see, as we look at David and this portion of Scripture, David was successful because the Lord was with him. Here's some concluding comments, some thoughts. First of all, David, he acted humbly. Though everyone loved David and they were praising David, he did not let that go to his head. He continued to serve Saul and the people for their own good. He humbly looked to the good of other people. The second thing is that David acted wisely. In all four instances in our scripture where it says that David was successful, it can also be translated that David acted wisely. See, David continued to do what it is that the Lord had called him to do. He played his lyre, his musical instrument for Saul. He went out on these military expeditions as Saul had asked him to. David fulfilled the duty to which he had been called. Third, David never retaliated. Even when Saul hurls his spear at David twice, David simply eluded him. And even when Saul was David's enemy continually, David did not react in kind. And finally, David remembered his anointing. David knew that he was the Lord's anointed servant and that he would one day become the king over Israel. And so he constantly prepared for the service that he would render to the Lord. And as I've said over these past few weeks, David points us to his greater son, Jesus Christ. You see, like David, Jesus acted humbly. Even though he had many enemies, people hated him, some of them wanted him dead, he served them to the very end. And like David, Jesus acted wisely. Jesus did everything that the Father called him to do, everything that the Father had asked him to do. And like David, Jesus never retaliated, especially at his crucifixion, where Jesus paid the penalty for our sins, not his own. He hadn't done anything wrong. And he did not retaliate against the cruel treatment that he received in the beating and in the hanging on the cross. And like David, Jesus remembered his anointing. Jesus was the anointed servant sent by his Father to save sinners such as you and as me. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was successful because the God, the Father, he was with him. So we need to thank God for David's greater son, Jesus Christ. You see, this whole narrative, this whole story of David, it points us to Jesus Christ because it is all about Jesus. Jesus is the subject. Just the name of Jesus is a wonderful, it is a beautiful, it is a powerful name. A name that we all need to hang on to and a name that we all need to follow after. What a wonderful, beautiful, powerful name.